Welcome back into 1600 ESPN. It is the college countdown to kickoff here on the show today as we get set for championship weekend. And, of course, all eyes here in the state of Iowa are going to be on the Big 12 title game as Iowa State takes on Arizona State down in Arlington, Texas. A spot in the college football playoff on the line for the winner of the game. And we'll talk about that and more with Alec Bussey from 24/7 Sports. Been on with us numerous times throughout the season and invited him back on to talk a little Big 12 championship football. Alec, I know it's been a crazy busy week for you. I bet you're ready for game time, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm honestly just ready for it to get to like 2025 at this point, I guess you could say. But no, in all seriousness, no, it's a great time of the year. Happy to be able to be privileged enough to cover it for 24/7 Sports and cover it from an Iowa State angle, because there's certainly a lot of positives right now and aimed and everything going on around the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've had football, you've had recruiting, you've had men's and women's basketball. So, yeah, I can understand maybe why you want to fast forward a little bit, but don't want to pass up an opportunity to cover a really good football team in Iowa State. And, of course, this really important game for the team, of course, taking on the Sun Devils down in Texas. Let's start with your impressions of the season as a whole. Had that 7-0 start, obviously, the two losses to Texas Tech and Kansas. But no doubt, I think you and I both, realize just how this team was able to respond and win those last three games to put themselves in this position to compete for a Big 12 title. What were your just kind of impressions on how the season played out up to this point, Alec?
Yeah, I think their ability to respond from the back-to-back losses says a lot about what this team was able to do, because quite frankly, I think a lot of people really panicked after the back-to-back losses. You kind of had to feel like, wow, the way that they lost to Texas Tech was pretty heartbreaking and frustrating, and then they don't really respond to it very well. The next week on the road at Kansas down at Arrowhead. And when that happened, it was like, oh no, like what directions does this go in? But the team has such great leadership. The senior class has been so impressive for Matt Campbell throughout the last 4 or 5 years. And their ability to right the ship and fight through difficult things on and off the field. And they were able to do that one last time during the regular season to lead them to 3 straight wins, beating Cincinnati in pretty convincing fashion. You had the dramatic win at Utah, having to come back. And then, for the most part, like, you kind of controlled the game on Saturday against Kansas State, never trailed. So really impressive with the way Iowa State ended the season. And overall, just an incredible year. And, you don't want it to end with a loss in the Big 12 title game and to go to a traditional bowl game. I think at this point, that would be a disappointment, as it would be for Arizona State. But the overall season cannot be described as a disappointment. It's arguably the best season in Cyclone football history.
Yeah, you mentioned the senior class and a lot of discussion about kind of how they've helped this program up from a tough spot. You had the 4-8 season back in 2022. And even at the beginning of last year, the 1-2 start, the loss to Ohio. I know there was a lot of discussion about how that was kind of the point where the senior class said, okay, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're going to make this a better end to the season than how we started it. And 7 wins last year, of course, a loss in the bowl game last season against Memphis maybe took a little luster off how they finished. But 10 wins this year, 17 wins over the last 2 years. You can't discount what they've meant to this program in kind of picking this Iowa State program up from a low spot in 2022 and now on the cusp of winning a championship, something they haven't done in forever. Right, Alec?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't won a major conference championship since 1912. And they've really never won one because I believe that was in Missouri Valley back in the day. I think what's really cool about this senior class is they've kind of been a part of it all. Like, if you're a fifth-year senior, you were on the 2020 team that went to the Big 12 championship. So you saw the program at its absolute high at that point. And then you enter the 2021 season, you're expecting to have the best season in program history as your preseason top 10. Well, then it just turns into, like, the most disappointing season that Iowa State fans probably could ever have imagined, just winning 7 games. But beyond that, to lead the program back after the frustrating 4-8 campaign in 2022 – to a 7-5 record a season ago with a 6-3 record in the Big 12, and then to do it even again this year and lead them to a 10-2 record, and in my opinion, the best season in Cyclone history. It's really impressive. Like, this story of this senior class is really unique and not something that very many schools are able to have, because usually you don't experience that kind of wave within a 4-year, 5-year type window, especially when you have only had the same head coach throughout that timeline.
You've been around the players and the coaches this week. I know they had their traditional Tuesday press conferences in Ames, and a lot of course, excitement for getting the opportunity to play for a Big 12 championship. You know, what's the reaction to kind of getting to this moment from what you've heard from not only Matt Campbell and the staff, but the players getting to go down to Texas to play for a Big 12 championship? I'm guessing there might be some nerves, but they're pretty excited about that opportunity, right?
Yeah, I would just say that to me, kind of the same old approach for them. Like, nothing really changes for them week to week, and I think that's one of the reasons why they've been successful. They're process oriented. They're not focused on the result. They're focused on being their best version of themselves every single day and being the best version of themselves and every single rep and every single lift and every single time they do a question on their homework. Like, that is what the program is built upon, and that's what the program's culture is, and that's why they've been so successful, because when that's your focus, it allows you to effectively move on from the back-to-back losses, because you're not focused on the loss that you just sustained. You're focused on trying to do your best job of winning the next rep and winning the next game instead of trying to find a way to win 10 games. So I think that that's led to them being really successful. And Saturday, they know and they understand that it's a Big 12 championship game. But at its core, it's also just like the next game on their schedule.
Last time Iowa State was there was 2020, so it's going to be a whole different atmosphere down in Texas. There were fans in the stands, but it was still pretty limited. And now, you know, it's open up to anybody who wants to come and can get a ticket, obviously. So I have to imagine it's going to be a pretty good atmosphere. Not too many players left from that team 4 years ago, only a handful of guys. Have the Cyclone players and coaches, have they talked about maybe leaning on some of the more experienced guys to help, you know, some of the younger players who maybe haven't been on this stage before, Alec, from what you've heard?
Yeah, I think they definitely are. I think one area that Matt Campbell talked about on Tuesday of them doing that is, it's not like the greatest benefit in the world, but you know where your locker room's at. You know what it's going to be like to walk on the field, what it's going to be like to run on the field. You understand where different facilities are at inside of the stadium. You're just overall routine. You can communicate that within the roster if you have experience doing that, and I think that that is valuable. Like I said, is it going to be the difference in the game because Arizona State's never played at Jerry World and they've never had an opportunity to play in a Big 12 championship and a handful of Iowa State players have? Like, no, I don't really think that that's going to be that big of a difference. The field is still, you know, 100 yards long and 53 yards wide, and, you know, you still have to block and tackle and execute to win the football game. But I do think having that minor experience can be beneficial for the Cyclones.
A few more minutes with Alec Bussey from 24/7 Sports, previewing the Big 12 championship game tomorrow, Iowa State and Arizona State, 11 a.m. kickoff on ABC and, of course, on the Cyclone Network right here on 1600 ESPN. This Arizona State team, Alec, is a pretty good football team, obviously, and they've played really well. Picked 16th in the Big 12 preseason poll, and now, well, they're competing for a spot in the college football playoff and a Big 12 championship. So the turnaround certainly impressive for Kenny Dillingham and staff. I know they're missing their top receiver, it sounds like, for the game, but still plenty of talent on this team on both sides of the football. What do you know about this matchup with the Sun Devils, and what are your thoughts on how Iowa State can win this game?
Yeah, I think it'll be a really interesting matchup for Iowa State from the perspective of some of Arizona State's strengths or some of Iowa State's bigger weaknesses. I think the most obvious place to go there first is probably their running back, Cam Scataboo. He looks like a potential Heisman candidate. If he has a phenomenal game on Saturday, I wouldn't be completely shocked to see him end up in New York. He's got great contact balance, runs with great power, great physicality. Matt Campbell compared him to David Montgomery earlier this week. So, you know, he thinks highly of what Cam Scataboo can do for the Sun Devils. That is going to be important for them. They can't let him kind of run all over them, allow them to control the clock. And he's going to have a really big role, maybe a bigger role than typical, because ASU is going to be without star receiver Jordan Tyson, who surpassed 1,000 receiving yards on the year. So Scataboo should see more touches, and he's someone who's kind of just a workhorse that hits something to get to him too much. And maybe one of the lesser-known backs in the conference entering the year, but certainly has turned into maybe the biggest name of any of the backs in the league as we enter, you know, Saturday's game in Arlington.
What do you make of the conversation that's been had over the last couple of days? We had the second to last college football playoff rankings come out, and the Big 12 not getting a ton of respect. I know Arizona State, it's presumed they're going to win by the committee. They're slotted in as the number 12 seed, and you'd imagine that's probably where Iowa State would be if they do end up winning this game on Saturday. I know Matt Campbell was asked about kind of the lack of respect for the Big 12 on Tuesday, and I think he said, "Ask Mike Gundy what really should be said about it." But I know Jamie Pollard had some thoughts on social media. Brett Yormark, the commissioner, kind of criticizing the committee for maybe undervaluing the Big 12. What do you make of kind of where the Big 12 fits into this 12-team playoff and the discussion that's been had, Alec?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't really have a gripe with anything that the committee has done at this point in the season, to be honest with you. If there's a complaint that I have with what they did on Tuesday, it's slotting Miami in between Alabama and Ole Miss, because I don't really find the Tide and the Rebels to be distinguishable between. So that's really the only complaint that I have. To me, they've shown pretty good consistency at this point, and if you play a difficult schedule, you're afforded more room for error, and that's what you're kind of seeing with a team like Alabama being slotted in, or a two-loss Georgia team that's slotted in, and I believe ranked number 6 as of Tuesday night. But if you're a team that doesn't have a really difficult schedule, you have to win those games, and you're not afforded that type of room for error. And that's what you're seeing with Indiana. Like, they're 11-1, and they're ranked inside the top 10 because they've handled their schedule better than teams like Iowa State or Arizona State in a different league with a similar-ish strength of schedule. I believe Indiana's is around 50th. I think Iowa State's is like 55th. So, in SMU, I would say, is probably in the same category as Indiana, where they only have one loss and the Big 12 teams all have two. Now, if you're an Arizona State fan listening to this and you want to say, well, one of our losses came on the road without our starting quarterback at Cincinnati, I do think that should be factored in by the committee. But in its lamest terms, like, if you play a difficult schedule, you're given more room for error. And if you don't, you better win more games. And I think, just to kind of pivot this in a different direction, the committee has shown Boise State so much respect because they have a top 25 win over UNLV, potentially two if they beat the Rebels on the Blues. But at the same time, if they lose, they're out. And they're going to go from being in to all the way out of the field, because they're not going to be the highest ranked Group of Five champions. So there's a lot that can change, whereas I think those Big 12 teams, right, like Iowa State can get in with two losses. Arizona State can get in with two losses. Boise State can't. And that's just kind of the way the system works. And I think the college football world is unfair, right? Like, we know that the SEC and the Big Ten have consolidated most of the programs that can compete nationally with the most talent that are traditionally the most successful. And it sucks for the ACC and the Big 12 that they don't have the ability to do that. And that doesn't leave those schools and those two conferences with as much room for error as, Oregon might have, or Ohio State might have, as a two-loss team with a loss to a bad 6-5 Michigan team or 7-5 Michigan team. But that's just kind of the way the world works, and unfortunately it's unfair, but we live in it every day, and I kind of like the world. I enjoy being in it. I'm sure you do too, Spencer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, not everything is going to be fair, especially in college football, like you said. And the most important thing for Iowa State, right, is, hey, win the game and then you're in. It doesn't really matter beyond that. Do the Cyclones win this one, Alec? In your opinion, how do you think it plays out?
Yeah, I think earlier in the year you had me on and you asked me for my prediction. I basically said, yeah, I don't really know. I hate to do that again, but I'm going to do it again because I really have no freaking clue who's going to win this game on Saturday. It's a 2.5, 3.5 point spread. Like, no one actually has a great feel for what's going to happen on Saturday. And anyone, I think, who tells you they do doesn't really have a good opportunity to stand on a rock and scream it from the mountaintops. I think Iowa State can win. I think for most of the year, I thought that they were the best team in the Big 12. But Arizona State's been playing really, really good football for the last month or two. So it's going to be a great game. I am predicting an Iowa State win. I have to double check what I've got written down, but it'll be a fascinating matchup in Arlington.
Real quick before I let you go, I know we had the early signing period start up this week. That's one of the many hats you've been wearing this week. 19 players in the early signing class, if I'm not mistaken, for Iowa State. How did they stack up in 24/7 Sports mind when it comes to the guys that they brought in?
Yeah, they did a pretty good job in this class. They had a really good last couple of months, which helped the class rise up to number 53 in the country. You know, Will Hawthorne, their top-ranked player, got four-star category this week from Cyclone Alert and from 24/7 Sports rankings. He's the number two player in the state of Iowa, which is obviously a really good land. Someone right in Iowa State's backyard from North Ames, Gilbert area. Quarterback Alex Mansky, I think is someone who could potentially be in line for a rise in his ranking before we finalize after the high school all-star games. He's someone who comes from Algona, really good athlete, can throw from multiple arm angles. We'll need to have some polish put on him as he gets to Iowa State and develops, but he was an Elite 11 finalist for a reason. So those are a couple of the big names in the class, along with Ethan Stecker from Spirit Lake, another in-state kid, Will Tompkins, an offensive tackle from Cedar Falls, and then some big out-of-state kids like defensive lineman Kamori Moore, former Oklahoma commit that Iowa State landed here in November. Just a really overall solid class that they did a good job of building, and a class that I know the coaching staff is really proud of.
Awesome, Alec. Thanks for taking some time. Enjoy the game on Saturday. We'll catch up with you again later, okay?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.